So lovely to see your face. And don't you just miss me coming down and greeting you? I do. It's very strange you sitting down there. Normally I'm the one that's talking to you and greeting to you. So what you will have to promise is that as I speak to you, you will speak back to me. Is that okay? Excellent. Well, we're going to be talking about promises, promises, promises. And as we do that, I'm just going to take a little time now just to bring our words and our thoughts to the throne of God to bless us at this particular moment. Father, we know that you are an amazing God. You love us with an everlasting love. And this song that we've just sang, this children's song, is a beautiful one for us to remember how much you love us. And as we delve into your word, as we go through your promises, may they imprint on our mind that you love us immensely, immeasurably, unendingly. Thank you, dear Lord and Father. Amen. Now, as a child, I was taught many Bible texts. And as we still do that now, don't we? And we do that with our primaries and our juniors. We're teaching them Bible texts. And they planted an image of God as being loving and merciful and powerful. And the idea was indeed to implant them into my mind so that they were there as promises I could hold and promises I would remember and I would claim. So here's my first question to you straight up. What text or promise do you remember from your childhood? Now, I'm not going to ask you to do anything I'm not going to do myself. I will tell you mine. But what text or promise do you remember from your childhood? Somebody. Anybody? Okay, go. John 3:16. Now, that's so popular that I think we could all say that. Shall we say that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a beautiful one. And frankly, if you don't know that, I'm going to encourage you to learn that, because that's one of the bedrocks of Christian life. Can anybody else give me one of the texts, just one more, that you remember from your childhood? Oh, that's right. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. And I remember that. I was more of an adolescent at the time for that one, I have to say. So here's mine that I remember. I remember that we were taught John 14:1-3. And that says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. That's good, isn't it? I'm so impressed I remember that long one, because some of the short ones I can't remember. And when you were a child, did you have that kind of 13 Sabbath? And we would always give the youngest child that shortest text. Do you remember that one? What's the shortest text? Jesus wept. And you know, there was such power in that, because there's promise in that too, that he feels our situation and he knows and he's with us. So, you know, the Christian life is actually incredibly rich with numerous promises. And for us living today, we have evidence of promises that our forefathers look forward to that are being fulfilled in our time. Now, here's the next question. What is the most seminal promise of all time that has been fulfilled that we benefit from now? What would you say that is? The most seminal promise? And actually, if my collegiates are here, they should know, because we talked about that a little bit upstairs. What would you say? The most significant foundational promise of all time. I was talking with the collegiate about Luke 24, the road to Emmaus, when it said Christ opened the Bible and it taught about him. So what am I thinking about would be the most seminal promise of all time? A promise for everybody. Up there. the Messiah, that there will be a savior for mankind, that we will not have to live in our sins, that somebody, like it says in Isaiah 53, would take our punishment so that we can have hope, would have our wounds so that we can be healed. So I'm going to talk about promises. I'm going to talk about, firstly, human promises, and then I'm going to talk about nice biblical, divine promises. And then I'm going to kind of look at how do we claim them? And I'm lastly going to end up thinking about what's the link between promises and gifts and talents. So that's what I'm going to do. But let's start, first of all, thinking about human promises. So if we were to take our title, Promises, Promises, in a human context, typically that means, yeah, skeptical, it's not going to happen. And that's because we as humans change our minds. Now, our scripture reading, I'm going to go back, our scripture reading says in Numbers 23 that humans lie and they change their mind. You remember Tyler read that? Because it took the contrast that God is not human that he should lie. And so I want you to take a look at this clip. And I want you to see if you recognize any of the situations as being true for you.
I'll come back for you. I promise.
Beds. I promise.
You won't feel a thing. I promise.
I promise. Is this right? It is.
Hi there. One minute of your time. I promise.
I'll walk every day. I promise.
Oh, this is decaf, isn't it?
Promise? A lot of people talk about promises, but at Dulux, our paint gives you the perfect colour, coverage, and uniform finish, or we'll replace it. Promise?
Whoa. So, promises, promises. How many promises were there? If you counted, how many promises were there in that advert? Take a guess. You know. How many promises? That's cheating. He knows. What did you say, Lila? Seven, absolutely right. There were seven promises, and then Dulux came in to say that our promises not like those others. They were typical promises, weren't they? Because in that advert, and I was so excited when I saw that, I thought, yeah, that's right. That's kind of what our promises are like. We mean it at the time, maybe, but actually, they're like ropes of sand. Don't hold your breath with those promises. They're just not good at all. And, you know, they're contrasts to the promises that we get in the Bible. So I want to change your mind when you see promises, promises. I want you to see promises, promises in the multiple, in the plural, in the fact that God has many thousands of promises for us. So I am told that indeed there are numerous promises that cover health and family and our schoolwork and our work. So I thought, how many promises are there? And that's not an easy task, is it? How many promises are there in the Bible? So I canvassed my friend, Professor Google, to ask how many promises there were. But let me ask you first. I'm going to pick on your wonder because you're not going to be here next week. How many promises do you think there are in the Bible? Any guess is a good guess, frankly. Because I had no idea when I looked. Does anybody want to? 1,600, says Leonora. 1,600. Okay. Any other guesses? How many promises are there in the Bible? 5,000. Okay, that's kind of more like it. So, in my first search, let's just welcome you. You don't have to sneak in. We're just delighted to have you. See, some of you are even know. Hello and welcome. I know very well, don't I? Joe. Thank you. Good morning. In fact, Joe, let's pick on you. How many Bibles, because you're a minister, how many promises are there in the Bible?
How many promises? 500.
No. You were... No. So listen. So when I did this search, the first search came up that there were between 3,000 and 30,000 promises, which... Sorry? Specifically. Well, the writer said that's pretty steep because there are about 31,000 verses in the Bible. So that's pretty much every verse a promise. So then I searched again, and it said there are between 3,000 and 8,000 promises in the Bible. And you kind of have to, you know, if you're going to go to Professor Google, don't stick with your first answer or even your second. So I went for my third, which was my favorite one, and it said, I don't know how many promises there are in the Bible, but my father counted one time, and he counted 7,487 promises. I quite like the fact that he doesn't know, but he's going with his father's count. But, so let's stick with the 8,000 promises. I like to think that there are at least 8,000 promises in the Bible. And so, when we look at Acts 13, verses 32 to 33, let's see if we've got that one there. That was mine. Let's move on. Oh, sorry. It says, what God has promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, his children, in raising up Jesus Christ. Now, the bit that I want you to hold on to in this is that God has promised lots of stuff. And God is faithful. He has fulfilled his promises. And the most central of that promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who he's raised up, who we have the benefit of living beyond Jesus Christ's time on earth. And we have his words, his ministry, his promise, his power, the Holy Spirit he left with us, the peace that is there. And I think that is amazing. So God does fulfill what he promised, and that enables us to trust him and to have confident, loving lives. So, you know, the absence of love is perhaps the greatest pain in our society. And I'm talking about love. I'm not talking about lust. There's even an awful lot of lust, and it sells chocolate and cars and motorbikes and all those sorts of things. I'm talking about the love that comes from knowing God. That's the love of God and the love of ourselves and the love of others. So when I talk about the love of God, I talk about honoring God. I talk about esteeming him, having no other God before him, you know, not taking his name in vain. I talk about obeying his word. Would you agree with me? That's how we love God. And then when I talk about the love of self, I talk about cherishing who you are, how God has made you, your unique features, your identity, your abilities. I talk about the promises that remind us of who we are. And in a moment, I'm going to play for you a song by Lauren Daigle, and she reflects some of the struggles we often have, struggles around self-doubt and anxieties and fears. But I want you, as you listen to this, and I will talk over it as well, to remember some of the promises that are there for us. So that we can trust in the Lord. We can always trust in him. I want you to remember that God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He says that in Jeremiah 31. And the one I like best, he says, I have engraved you in the palm of my hands. And of course, the one that Wayne said for us, John 3:16, he loved us so much that he died for us. So let's listen to this song because it reflects what we struggle with, but there's a beautiful message in it. What I like about this is that I'd asked our young people to give us some songs that would help me in this message. And this is not one that I'd heard before, but I really like it. I like the essence of when we are struggling with what we think of ourselves and our ability to love ourselves, God says, I love you. And in him, we can have identity. So let's just think of that concept of God loving us and us feeling loved. Because then once we love God and we can love ourselves, then we're enabled to love others. And you know, we cannot give what we haven't got. We cannot give love that says that you are valued, that you are precious, that you are great, if we don't believe what God says of us. And the Bible says, when God summarizes his commandments, his 10 into 2, that love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So, encouraged to love God, to love ourselves, and to love others. And when we struggle with any of that, God has multiple promises to help us, and to help us in other aspects of our lives. I'd already talked about work, in our health, in any situation. And you know, trusting Christians tell me that when they have claimed scriptural promises, they replace fear with peace, doubt with trust, worry with hope. And so I want to encourage you to think about promises in these three categories. And I'm only categorizing them for the purpose of illustration. So the first category is that of situational promises. So some of the promises that are made to us in the Bible are intended for a particular situation. So when I was writing this, you know, it's quite a task to write a message to reflect God's word in a way that's going to be beneficial to you. And I got completely stuck, so stuck that I wanted to cry. And then I remembered that God said, you don't need to be distressed, because any time you're going to speak on my behalf, I will speak with you. I will give you the words. And so I searched out that text. It was Luke 12:12. Let me find it for you. Can't find it. You're going to have to look for it in your Bible. Luke 12:12. Beautiful, beautiful text. So can somebody find it and read it for me? I like it when we have to go to our Bibles. That's just lovely. Luke 12:12. Whenever you need to speak on behalf of God, you needn't worry, because the Holy Spirit will teach you what you need to say. And so my second category is that of the principle or a commandment-dependent promise. So some promises come to us following acts of submission or obedience to biblical principles and commands. And I think this is really important, because what writers say is that you can't just take any promise in the Bible and just decide, I'm going to have that. So, for instance, the promise to Sarah that she was going to have a child isn't the one I wouldn't just take now. Yeah? So when we look in the Bible, there are some of these conditional promises that are there for us, like this beautiful one that I remember in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I'm always a bit mindful of memorizing, because you know that I might have learned it in a different version. But what is dependent on this promise is that you first trust, isn't it? It's there. God will direct your path. He's not afraid. He's not unable. He has absolute power to do that. But he won't be able to do it if you don't entrust yourself to him. That's a dependent promise. And so then the last one I want to present is a universal promise. So this is one that's meant for all believers. And so what one promise would you say is meant for all believers? Can you give me a promise? He will come again. That is a promise for all believers. Absolutely. Anybody else? I've got a couple of ministers in the room, you know. I could pick on you, but I won't. Sorry? Sin won't arise a second time. That's universal. That's a beautiful one. You know, we learn in Revelation about the destruction from sin, but that it will never arise another time. And then here is another one. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Beautiful. And it's one we can share because it's universal. And it's the power of sharing the Christian message. So, what about this one? Peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. Yes? I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. There's an interesting thing I learned about many of the Christian songs. They're really encouraging. They're really trying to bring back peace and hope. And when you think about it, God knew that we would need this peace. And in the songs that are around, they're to give us that as well. So what each of these promises and in each of these categories do is to reinforce that God is love and that we can love ourselves, we can love others, we can live confident lives, and that the love of God is there as the foundation of all that we are and all that we need to be. Now, for a friend's birthday, I put together some texts for her birthday. Let's see if I can find them. They're 50, so that probably gives away her birthday, so I really can't give away her name. And I thought, when you get to 50, one text, one promise for each year seems about right, doesn't it? Seems about good. So I produced this little promise sheet for her. And I found 50 beautiful, beautiful promises. Now, would you like to hear some? Thank you. So, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Isaiah 26:4, trust in the Lord forever and the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Isaiah 43:5, do not be afraid, I am with you. Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have do to you. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And I have to give you another one. Psalms 145:9, the Lord is good to all. I found 50. How many promises did I say there were in the Bible? Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. I did round up to 8,000. 7,487 was my favorite figure. 7,487. So I'm short in what I'm giving. But as a contrast and as an example, there are many, many beautiful texts that we can give. So promises encourage and strengthen us. And that's their primary purpose. And when we speak them over and over in our lives, we can then find the power and the strength and the love to endure difficult situations, to celebrate happy situations, and just to know that the Lord is with us and will always be with us. Now, the power of the words don't come from the words themselves. Where do you think the power of the words of the promise come from? Go on, Francis, a bit louder. God. They come from their source. And that's why we always go to the Bible. Because there are two things for us to remember about words in the Bible. One, they are living and active. And that's said and reinforced in Hebrews 4:12 that says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Right through. When I mentioned earlier that I turned to Luke 12:12, I got peace. It came right to me when I needed it. And then the second thing about the source of these words is that God has said in Isaiah 55:11, beautiful text to remember, beautiful promise, that they will not return unto him void. What will not return unto his void, him void? It says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That is the power we are claiming when we are claiming God's words in his promises. But promises don't work on their own. They do work hand in hand with the gifts and the talents, strengthening us to mission. So when we are called to do something, we are gifted and talented. The promises remind us that God is with us, enabling us to do that. Because God has blessed every one of us with a talent to be used for the benefit of the church. So the church is us, his members, and for the work of the church, that is sharing the gospel of salvation. Do you know, Adventists believe that every church member should have received the Holy Spirit, and that everyone receiving the Holy Spirit receives some gifts. And if you want to know those gifts, and we've had a message about gifts, if you remember, I remember because I gave it in January, we said that everybody has a gift. And we found that in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 and 11, that there is that list of gifts. And some of us completed our spiritual gifts assessment. Do you remember that? And if you haven't, please come and see me, because I'd be delighted for you to do that. Because when you know your gifts, you know how and where you can serve God. And you know what, as a Christian, that's what God has called you to. He's called you to serve him, to love him. And in loving him, loving yourself and loving others, you serve him. You serve yourself and you serve others. Now, let me finish. Jeremiah 29:13 and Acts 13:32 were our scripture reading. Let me just remind you of what they say. In Jeremiah 23:19, I'm thinking of what's in Jeremiah 29? Why would that come to my mind? Does anybody know what's there? What's there? I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. Wherever you turn in the Bible, there are promises and they sneak in, keeping you strong. But we're looking at Jeremiah 23, verses 19. It says, God is not human that he should lie, and nor human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? No. Does he promise and not fulfill? No. And then in Acts 13:32, we tell you the good news. What God has promised our ancestors has been fulfilled for us in raising up Christ. I'm leaving you with the truth that all of the promises that God has made, he will or has fulfilled for us. And it's not only the work of the church, but the work to the church that needs your gifts. Gifts to encourage, to warm, to cheer, to comfort, gifts of hospitality. And God has given us multiple promises that strengthen us in loving him and loving ourselves and fulfilling his mission. Whoa, it's promises. It is that love that we claim in so many promises that strengthen us in our times of need, remind us, as Lauren Daigle was telling us, that we're loved, that we're strong, that we are held, that we belong. And it's true, everything you need, you can find in the love of Jesus Christ. And when you focus on reflecting that love, others will also come to know Jesus. If in any way you struggle, God has given you his word promises, promises upon promises of his power and his love and his presence. So when you hear, when you see, promises, promises, remember. How many? Right. 7,487. 8,000 promises. May the Lord bless you with a promise every day, every moment of your life. Amen.